hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely amazing, wonderful day today. A lot of stuff going on as always, and I wanted to address something real quick. I just spoke to another friend of mine who's actually dumping PayPal as well as one of their main virtual terminals, and I still get a lot of emails. I get a lot of order comments from customers. They place the order, which I appreciate greatly. I appreciate your support. And they ask us why we don't use PayPal, and I've talked about this repeatedly, but I still get this question a lot. PayPal is known, and they are notorious for blocking your account, seizing your money for an extended period of time, all under the guise of pretty much any excuse they want. They can say you're doing too much international trade. They can say you're doing too much sales. They can say they don't agree with the content of what you support. They literally can shut you down for any reason. I've seen this happen to numerous friends of mine, even one that happened last year with a big truck show they were having at Daytona, and he started getting the ticket sales via PayPal. Within 5 days, PayPal froze his account and the $40,000 in his account and said, you're doing too many transactions too fast, and we're essentially putting you under investigation for the next 6 months. He could not get the money, could not take any more orders, and could not do anything, because at that point in time, if you look at the terms and conditions, PayPal has it very clearly in there that they can cut, basically turn off, seize, hold, pending, anything they want to do to your account at any time for any reason that they see fit. We see the same thing going on with Chase Bank now, by the way, if you guys have seen that already. Chase Bank is notorious for shutting down accounts of people and organizations with controversial political views. It looks like they're picking the same playbook as PayPal. So that's why we don't use Chase, and it is why I don't have PayPal. I know a lot of people say it's convenient, it's easy, I got that, but there has to be a certain line in the sand, everybody. Listen to me. There has to be a certain point in line in the sand where you say, you know what, I'm not going to support this giant monster that not only do we know majority of the banks are wrapped up in the giant global banking cartel with the Rothschilds and everything. We already know that. That's a fact. But it's bad enough we have to deal with them in general, with the banks. But when you know a bank is full-blown, hardcore left, anti-conservative everything, the bank knowingly contributes money to hardcore left-wingers. They contribute money to Planned Parenthood. They contribute money to lobbyists that are anti-gun. And I'm speaking of PayPal right now, by the way. PayPal does all of those. And you know that's what they do. You really have to take a step back sometimes and say, man, is this really an organization that I want to give 2 to 3% of my money to on every single transaction? Because that's what they charge. Usually PayPal's around 2.6, 2.8% of every transaction you do. These are things we have to start asking ourselves and start saying, is it something we want to contribute to? And is this company actually going to support what I'm doing? Or are they going to do everything they can to hinder what I'm doing? So just want to start off on that. It was a quick little rant, but I wanted to address that because I get so many emails still on it. And again, this is why we do not support, nor will we have PayPal on our website, Deb.
You know, Austin, years ago, I had a merchant account with Barnett Bank, which is now defunct. It's been taken over by another larger bank. And I remember they were giving me a hard time because, you know, we were wanting a credit merchant account. It's like 30 years ago. It's almost hard to get, especially with the mail order transactions. And I remember our business started growing, and all of a sudden they canceled my merchant account, and they seized a bunch of money in the account. And I asked them, I said, you know, why are you doing this? And they said, your business is getting too big. Your sales are too high. And I'm like, what the heck, man? We've been in business for, you know, over 10, 15 years. I said, what is the deal here? I said, oh, we decided we'd do that. And that was it. That was it. 8 months later, I got my money back. I had to go into a scramble fit trying to get a doggone merchant account set up with another vendor. These banks are notorious for this, Austin. You see it all over the place with these conservative Christian organizations being hammered by this, because they figure if they can take your funding away. This is what they did to Venezuela, Maduro. They took away his credit. through the international monetary funds and through the international banking cartels and his SWIFT, his ability to do a lot of SWIFT accounts and wiring, and they've hamstrung his entire economy as far as harvesting, you know, and bringing in the oil. That's why Venezuela is in trouble. It's not that he's a bad president. I'm not saying that he's a good president, but it's not that he's a bad president. It's that our CIA, which is run by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, they decided that he was, which owned the banks, okay? They decided that he wasn't going to be able to use the credit anymore for cash flow and day-to-day operations. Now, what he should have done, while he still had the opportunity to do that before they did all that to him, he should have shifted from the U.S. dollar into the Russian currency. He should have done that with the rubles and basically shifted his entire banking network around so he'd have the cash flow to do it. But he didn't do it, and what had happened is, because they denied him the short-term credit to run his equipment, he could no longer, you know, bring in the oil, could drill for oil, you know, bring in the oil, you know, get the oil processed, you know, to the efficiency that he needed. In addition to that, they prevented him from selling oil in a lot of different markets. I mean, he's been hamstrung intentionally by our CIA. Now, everybody wants to run around them. You know, of course, a few months ago, the CIA tried to go in and do a coup in Venezuela, and it failed. You know, now Russia's getting involved. And I mean, again, this is the international banking cartels, the international banking community that runs the show. This is what they do, and it never ends. In fact, this morning, one of our listeners, Brad, brilliant master's degree professor is what he is. He works at a local school. He wrote me an article, and he said, Breitbart says 100,000 people are crossing the southern border per month. That's by the way, that's accurate to what they're telling us. It's probably higher than that. There were 92 patients last night waiting in our Winter Haven ER last night to be seen. His wife's a nurse there, and she said that 70% were Mexican. Of those, probably a large percentage were illegal. The roads in our county, Polk County, are jammed with traffic and are very similar now to Orlando in wait times. The schools and hospitals in Texas are already overwhelmed. Then Brad asks the question, why is Trump not stopping this? Where is Q in all of this? Is he still going on? Is he still going on about the 100,000 indictments for the past crimes that are no longer relevant or even a priority? If Trump does not stop illegal crossings fast, our way of life here in Central Florida will change, but not for the better. We are all tired of all talk and no action. And my response was this: Q is a bot. As an individual, he doesn't exist. It's a psychop. Trump is a figurehead, a Rothschild puppet, a stooge, a fake, a phony. Israel runs the United States through AIPAC, the Southern Law of Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the Central Bank, the Exchange Stability Fund, the Masonic Lodges, the CFR, through political contributions, organized crimes, the Catholic Church, satanic ritual, etc., etc., etc. This is the dilemma we have found ourselves due to the Scofield Bible commentary. Most Christians are totally asleep and ignorant to the truth and what has happened to our country. You think, well, wow, Ted, it's not that bad, is it? Yeah, it's that bad. It's just that bad. And you don't understand what's happening, because, again, remember, Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschild banking cartel. We have, what, 80 congressmen and senators that are Israeli citizens in Congress right now. We have AIPAC as the strongest lobbying group in the United States. The congressmen who want to stay in, according to Cynthia McKinney, former Congress lady, said that they have to sign a loyalty pact with Israel to be able to do and function in Congress and continue to get their funding. You think, well, what the heck? How did all this happen? Because we gave the Rothschild banking cartel back in 1913 the right to basically print our money and charge us interest for it. I mean, this is, and you say, well, why do you always go back to that? There's no way to explain it without going back to that. You can't fix it unless you fix that. That's why I said years ago, I said, you're not going to get rid of anything until Donald Trump gets rid of the Federal Reserve. Now, I will say something interesting. Last fall, when they were raising interest rates, and the stock market was going into free fall because they owned the stock market, and they were selling their stock and making profits and shorting it, he told them that they needed to stop, and he talked about replacing the Fed head, which they can't do. The chairman of the Fed can't be replaced by the president, as far as he can't be fired. He can't be told what to do. He's an independent agency because we gave them that authority through the Congress, which is stupid. And so, you know, all that stuff needs to just go away. But Trump hasn't done it. And then we have an interesting article this morning by Ann Coulter. I was wondering where Ann was. And I was on Breitbart. It was also on Town Hall. And it's called All the President's Blood-Sucking Relatives. Now, I don't know why she used those terms, but that's interesting. She goes, even after Trump won the presidency, Jared Kushner was embarrassed by his father-in-law, according to Vicki Ward's terrific new book, Kushner, Inc. In a speech to hundreds of New Yorker bankers, there we go, and business guys on 2016, Jared admitted that Trump was easy to hate from a distance. He goes, quote, listen to this, listen. But not to worry, he said, Trump would not be keeping his promises, especially on immigration. This is what Trump said, according to Kushner in his own book, the book that was written about him. One banker who heard the speech was appalled, shocked by Jared's arrogance, thinking he could not control the president. Jokes on him. Turns out Jared was right. He does control Trump. Wow. Remember, Jared is a Shabbatist. Remember that. Never forget that. He's also a Kabbalist. Very important you understand this. He does control Trump. Because it was Jared's idea to fire FBI Director James Comey. If Trump hadn't followed that advice, there would have been no independent counsel. It was also Jared and Ivanka's idea to hire Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn. Ivanka was adamant, saying, Flynn gets anything he wants. Yeah, that girl's got a set of stones on her. Because she's what they call a melancholy choler, if you guys aren't familiar with that. That means you don't want to really deal with her. If Trump hadn't hired Manafort and Flynn, the independent counsel investigation would have been over in a week. That's true. If even Trump's opponents warned him about the man Ivanka said should have anything he wants, Ward says. President Barack Obama gave Trump two pieces of advice. One was the biggest problem he would face as president was the nuclear threat posed by North Korea, which I don't believe. The second was a warning against hiring Flynn. He'll cause you nothing but problems. That's probably true. Though there are some things that Flynn did that I did like. Trump's supposedly loyal kids gave him worse advice than the ex-president whom Trump tormented during his presidency. Even Trump's plethora of Goldman Sachs aides were horrified by Jared's decision to fire FBI director just as congressional Democrats were here and gearing up on the congressional Russia collusion nonsense. When Goldman Sachs alum Dina Powell got wind of Comey's coming dismissal, she told Jared that firing the director would be a huge political mistake. His self-assured Jared brushed her off, saying, no, this is what should be done. The guy is not on our team. And now, think through this for a second. This goes on and on. You can read the whole article you like. I'm posting it on healthmasters.com website as far as on our news section. You know, we've got Donald Trump that is basically being controlled by an outside source, just like I said earlier. And we have to ask ourselves a question, you know, why do they do this? Well, it's about obfuscation. It's about going in and controlling the narrative on both sides. It's very important that we understand that because, you know, now George Soros is hammering, you know, Facebook, saying that Facebook runs the world. That's not true. Now, Facebook is controlled by the same people that control George Soros that run the world. That is true. But they go back and forth like this so they can say things that will make you think that they're not in control when indeed they are in control. They're very, very devious, this group of Sabbateans. They really do the best they possibly can to operate from the shadows. This is what organized crime has always done. They don't want you to see them out of the street corners. They don't want you to see all this. If they make their presence known to you and you actually see them, chances are you're not going to be around very long because they don't want you to see that. They want to make sure they operate from the shadows. It's the guy who feeds the junkies, who feeds the distributors, who feeds the pushers. It's those guys way up in the shadows that you don't ever see on the streets. It's the guys who run the prostitution rings and the organized crime and the organized gambling. The ones who continue to, you know, run the bookies for all the bets. These are the guys. And they are just the lower level guys. They all answer to the higher level groups. Again, I told you this yesterday. The United States is run by organized crime. Interesting article from the conservative right-wing news. It says, tolerance is the last gasp of a depraved and dying society. Muslim migrant convicted rapist back on the streets after plane passenger stopped his deportation. I mean, think about this for a second. This plane mutiny rapist is back on our streets. Convicted Somalian with his 59 IQ is living in England as lawyers fight his extrication. A rapist whose deportation was halted when airline passenger states a mutiny is back on the streets. Wow. Yahib Hamid, who should have been deported to his native Somalia last October, was released on bail 4 weeks ago. He is now living in the Northwest as his legal team continue to fight against his deportation. He was convicted in jail with three other men for the sickening gang rape of a 16-year-old girl in 2007. And this author goes on to say, it is my opinion, it seems to me, that these militant Muslims appear to get away with anything they want. Western society seems self-committed to lethal invasion and suicide. Where Islam and Muslims are concerned, Western society turns backflips on permissiveness and protection of allowance almost everything in the case of Islam. Now, think about this for a second. I'm going to stop, and I'm not going to read more of this article. You finish reading it yourself. Here's the thing. They're saying Islam. Islam is the broom that is to sweep Christianity from Europe. We talked about this on yesterday's show. It's the broom that's to sweep Christianity away from Europe. Christianity is pretty much done in Europe. You go to these churches, these giant cathedrals. Austin and I have been in them before. We've gone to Mass before in Catholic churches because we had no place else to go for church. And you have a church that'll hold 5,000 people, and there's 100 people in the front. Been there, done that. Okay. I mean, this is on Sunday, and you're like, what the heck? The church is empty. They're just empty real estate now because God was taken out of these churches decades ago, years ago. We talked about this yesterday in depth on the show. I'm not going to go into that again. Listen to yesterday's show. But tolerance is the last gasp of the depraved and dying society. We have now groups of people that are saying that, you know, if you oppose transgenderism, you're a racist. If you oppose a person who's basically mentally ill and has, you know, gender dysmorphic disorder, you basically are a racist. No, we're not a racist. There's just something that's going on here that we want to talk about. In fact, right now, one lesbian gay parent is saying that the transgender movement is actually taking over the control of the mental health profession. In fact, this is from Breitbart. It says, liberal feminist mother warns transgender activists are taking control of the mental health profession. Guys, all of this is planned. This article goes on to say, a liberal feminist mother of a gender dysphoric teen warns parents that transgender activists are ensuring it will soon be nearly impossible to find a mental health professional who is willing to help children evaluate their self-perceptions. I mean, this is what they've wanted to do to us. This is what they plan on doing to this. In Austin, Texas, this is Austin, a survey given to all Austin Independent School District students in grades 3 through 11. 3 through 11, guys, 8-year-olds. This spring told children, sex is what a person is born. Gender is how a person feels. If they ask students to select whether they feel like they're a girl or boy or a man or identify some other way, that was followed by a blank box for students to describe how you identify. This is in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Okay? Think what I'm saying. These damnable, you know, I'm not using damned as a cuss word. I'm using it as they're damned. These people are damnable, just complete and total heretic, perverts, weirdos, sickos, nightmares, and they're running our country. They're running our country. Why? Because they want to destroy everything that God made good. What good is bad? Bad is good. Up is down. Down is up. I mean, everything is twisted. Why? To confuse the hearts and the minds. You say, well, you know, Amazon's burning books. Metaphorically, they're banning them. Yeah, they are. They're banning the books that are alternative thought, that don't go with the mainstream narrative. Tolerance is the last gasp of a dying society. What do you think, Oz?
That's well said. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing more and more of these libraries as well, these public libraries becoming these safe havens for these transgender storytell reading times. We've talked about that repeatedly. Now there's, I think, a third individual that one of the transgender, weirdo, perverted, depraved storybook readers. They've had this, I think this is their third one now in the country that they found in various different states. The third one now that is actually a convicted child pedophile, sexual pervert, convicted, and is running around dressing up like a woman and reading storybooks to children, and they've now removed this individual. So this is another way that these perverts can get their foot in the door. But to go back to what you talked about originally with the mental health, this is kind of in my perception, this is my opinion, and this is a few other people I've talked to as well. We've seen the real hard push for this mental health aspect on firearms. You know, if you're crazy, if you have mental health issues, we can take your firearms. Okay, we see that. We already know that. Well, the one thing that we're starting to see now is that mental health is not being defined by by anything specific anymore. It is almost an opinion. And what I say by that, what I mean by that is we're seeing now where they're saying, well, it's not a mental health disorder anymore if you have gender dysphoria. It's okay. That's not mental health anymore. That's your choice. And there's obviously a lot of pushback on it now. But if we continue to allow this type of depraved ideology to be taught in the indoctrination camps that we now call public schools throughout the population for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we're going to see the generation below us, the young kids right now that are in school, and my children, not my children personally, but their generation. And if they're taught this, the new normal is going to be this perverted ideology. And the mental health aspect, the crazy people, are going to be myself and Dad that don't go along with this perverted, depraved ideology. They're going to start saying, well, you have a mental health disorder because you think somebody that doesn't identify with their sex and they, I want to identify as a different gender, they're weird, and you're mentally challenged for that. You have a mental health disorder. I go, no, that's completely opposite. No. That's what it is, because why say it is? Well, why is that? Well, we've been taught that for the last 15 years in school. So you're the crazy one because you think I'm not normal for wanting to go use a women's bathroom when I'm a grown 30-year-old man. Think about it, guys. This is where they're going to take this. This is the next step they're going to take it. And then they can start saying, oh, those white Christian men, those gun owners, they're crazy. You know, they're crazy. They think that people shouldn't be able to use the bathroom of their choice. They're the nutbags. The next step is that, guys. This is where this is headed if we don't start putting a stop to it and we don't start allowing this political correctness to completely and totally muzzle and silence the Christian population. Because that's what it's done now. Nobody wants to talk about this anymore. Nobody wants to bring this up. It's like verboten now. Like, that's it. You're like a homophobic, racist, neo-Nazi skinhead if you say you don't want a 30-year-old man to go to the bathroom with your daughter in the women's bathroom now. Oh, you can't say that. You can't tell him he can't do that. Whoa, wait, what? No, what? This is not normal. They go, no, you're not normal. And I go, am I not normal? Is this become the new normal now? That we have transgender pedophiles reading books to children in libraries? Is this the new normal? Maybe I am abnormal. Have we become that depraved of society now? I mean, that's sad if we have. But this, in my opinion, I think this is where they're starting to take this, as we're seeing it now go further and further down the rabbit hole. Also, too, what Brad Parton was talking about earlier, Dad, this is something that's very interesting to see, because we see this illegal immigration occurring all across the country now. Stay with me for a second. We see this illegal immigration coming all across the country. We see the roads that are not being taken care of. They're not being expanded properly. And why is that? Well, they're saying it's because they don't have enough tax revenue. They're not making enough money. They're not getting enough tax revenue in. And they can't expand them fast enough. Well, the population of the United States isn't growing organically very fast. I told you guys last week, California is at the lowest growth of California American citizens as it was before the Great Depression. 12.4 people per thousand. That's the growth rate right now of actual organic, natural California United States citizens. Well, if that's the case, why is the population expanding in the United States so rapidly? Because the illegal immigration is not slowing down one single bit. That's something that nobody's wanting to address. It's so the roadways need more maintenance. The highways need more maintenance. The bridges need expanding. The roads need expanding. They say, we don't have the money to do so. Well, how do they not have the money to do so when we have some of the highest amount of income revenue as far as IRS, tax revenue, that we've ever had in history? Because the population growth is expanding via immigration, and it's not keeping up with taxes via the fact that a lot of these individuals are not paying taxes. It's ironic. Now, I saw an article by MC Clatchy. He said that higher state gasoline taxes have now won approval in 7 Republican-run states since President Donald Trump took office. Seven states now that have been fully run by Republicans have now raised gasoline taxes. They said the Trump administration has not ruled out an increase, and most congressional Democrats are enthusiastic about the idea. Now, nobody wants to address the fact that we have income tax, we have tire tax, we have tax on all kinds of different oil, petroleum byproducts, we have vehicle registration tax, we have tag fee tax, we have title tax, we have sales tax, we have gas guzzler tax. We have taxes to no end. I can keep going on for an entire day. You guys get the picture. We have taxes on every single possible thing known to man, and we already have a federal gas tax. The federal gas tax currently is 18.4 cents a gallon, and diesel tax is 24.4 cents a gallon, and it was last raised in 1993. But when asked at a Senate hearing last month if she and Trump would be receptive to raising the gas tax, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao said nothing is off the table and we are looking at every option, meaning there's a high probability we're about to get a federal gas tax raise. Instead of higher taxes, Congress should look closely at where current gasoline tax money goes. Russ Latino, the Vice President for Americans for Poverty, has come out now with his numbers after he audited it, and he said he estimated that some 28% goes to expenses other than roads, bridges, and roadway upkeep. So we're seeing here that a vast portion of just the gasoline tax isn't even going to the upkeep. Almost a third of it is not. So where is this money going? We see at the same time now that California has raised their gas tax to the point where fuel is almost $5 a gallon. Yet the state is in complete and utter poverty. We see now that according to the California Tax Foundation, the California lawmakers are now posing to pass a water tax, a drinking water tax. They said it's going to bring in revenues of roughly $100 million a year annually. They said the new tax scheme will impose a fee on municipal water supplies, charging California residences anywhere from $1 to $10 every month on their water bills. They said most new taxes require support from two-thirds of lawmakers. However, this bill will only require a simple majority to pass. Now, here's the question you have to ask yourself with this right now. So they're about to add $100 million water tax, drinking tax on the general population. The California population is not growing at all. They're the lowest they've ever grown for the organic California natural citizens of California. We also see that hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing California and drove to go to other states because the tax rate is so high. We see that there's a massive amount of poverty in California because the taxes are so high via the tent cities. I've talked about them before. So if all these things are occurring, the population of California growth rate is dropping, people are fleeing California by the hundreds of thousands, taxes are still going up by the boatload, where is this money going in California? It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a professional auditor to realize there's something going on here. It's going to the sanctuary cities. It's going to the areas that don't pay taxes. Newsflash, they've already shown statistically and numerically on the charts that illegal immigration costs us roughly $100 to $120 billion a year in taxes the American population is not even getting. And in my opinion, that's a low, low, low estimate. So now California has found itself in a situation. In order to keep the illegal immigration population growing in that state, in order to keep them fed, in order to keep them in housing, in order to keep them with drinking water, they have to continue raise taxes on the population that's still working, that's still paying taxes, that's still allowing the government to seize their money. Remember, they have a 13% state income tax on top of federal income tax there. You're roughly after you, if you're in a top tax bracket and you're paying Medicaid and Social Security, you're roughly around 60% income tax in that state that comes out of your check. Not to mention the insane fuel tax, water tax, every other tax known to man in California. It's a failed state. Let's be honest with it. They have the highest taxes out of any state in the country, and they have tent cities larger than any other city in the country. They're a failed state. Why is that? We have to start looking at what is going on, why we're having massive amounts of taxes being raised on the population, why we can't meet budgets, why the roadways are deteriorating, and why the roads are being so full with so much traffic that nobody can transverse across any highway in the country now half the time in these major cities because they're so packed, yet they're saying there's not enough fuel tax, there's not enough taxes on everything to sustain growth. Where is all the money going? And in my opinion, this is what you see when you have a tyrannical government out of control, when they're more concerned about the illegal population of the country and they're willing to pull the entire card underneath the population to push us into a giant state of poverty so they can keep control over everything and bring the United States to its knees. That's the only other thing that makes sense right now, guys. Nothing else makes sense of the situation because the numbers don't add up. The population growth doesn't add up. None of this adds up whatsoever, in my opinion.
It's Frankfurt School, Austin. I mean, I did a whole show on it. I mean, this is what they did back in 33 when they left and they went to Columbia, the Frankfurt School. They knew they had to destroy nationalism, and they're doing it. It all goes back to the bankers who funded it, to the communists. These are the same communists that came out of Russia.
Yep.
The same Rothschild group. This is the same group again. It's always this group. It's like you dig under a rock and you dig far enough down, and here they are again. It's the same guys, and this is the ploy. This is it's the transgender movement. It's the lesbian movement. It's the feminist movement. It's the Playboy movement. It's all of this stuff was all created by these same people. And now what they do is they bring all of these immigrants in. They destroy the entire infrastructure through social welfare systems, through taxes, through lack of maintenance, through everything.
Yep.
And then they basically start voting for more and more and more socialist activities and more communist activities, sucking from the few people that are still generating revenue. And the entire thing collapses. This is what Cloward and Piven said would happen. It just has taken 60 years to get here. This is who they are. Now, let me give you some solutions for a second. I mean, how can we change this? Let's just talk about for change for a second. What can we do as Christians and as patriots to change this? I want you to listen to me for a second. Number one, we've got to realize that God's still in charge. Now, what we've done is we've allowed this Satan group to come in and take control of the United States and the world. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, there are no countries that are really running by the word of God anymore. We talked about it yesterday in the show and why that happened. But we've got to change what we're doing, and we have to change our focus that what we're looking at. Let me give you an example. You can't be looking at George Soros fighting with Facebook. It's obfuscation. I posted that on my website. This is obfuscation. You can't be looking at the blood-sucking family of the Trump family with blood-sucking relatives, okay? It's obfuscation. You know, Breitbart's posting this. Breitbart's run by Rothschilds, okay? You know, Drudge is a gay guy. You know, we know that Mac Drudge is a gay guy, and he's Jewish, and he basically is run by the Rothschilds, and he puts up all his stuff. 80% of his stories are good. 20% of them promote gay and lesbian agenda. I mean, all of this stuff promotes this stuff on Drudge, you know, indirectly or directly. I mean, it tells you what it is, but it doesn't say anything bad about it. You don't have some fire-breathing Baptist or Assembly of God or Christian or whatever denomination you want or Lutheran pastor standing against us being promoted on Drudge or Breitbart. It doesn't exist. So we have to change our focus, number one. Then we've got to realize that we've got to share what we know with the world. And I'm going to say this to you guys, and I love you guys. I mean, we got millions of listeners. I pray for you every day. I pray for you again today. You got to start forwarding this doggone show to your lists. We're giving you the opportunity. We're giving you a platform here. You may have 40, 50, 100, 200,000 people on your database, in your list. Send every day. Ted and Austin Brower Show. If you have another show that you like better than our show, that's still preaching the truth, send that one. It's okay. But you got to get involved. You have to. It's beyond this now of sitting, you know, dear Lord, bless my wife, myself, my two children, us four, no more. That's got to stop. You've got to become activists for the Republic, for God, for Christianity, and you got to find something that you can send out and get involved. Well, my friends won't like me anymore if I let them know how I feel. Who gives a rat's bottom what they like? The country's going to hell in a doggone handbasket, and we're, like I said, Christianity is sinking faster than a feral cat in a pond with a concrete block tied to it. I talked about that yesterday. This isn't getting better, guys. It's getting worse. Some of the major platforms, I've got to be careful what I say now. Father, believe me right now. Some of the major platforms in alternative news are lies. They're obfuscation. 80% reality, 20% lies, total trash. You will know them by their fruit, the word says. If I'm hanging out with homosexuals and perverts and queerdos and transgenders, and I'm doing all kinds of weird stuff and getting on TV and radio and being drunk, you guys need to kind of figure out that Ted Brewer ain't who he says he is. I don't do that. You come to my house, you're going to find all my books. I got a bunch of them. You walk in my pantry, you won't find a pork product in there. We don't do pork. You know, you will find a coffee maker. My mother-in-law gave me one of those, and I'm very careful when I use coffee. And no, I haven't had coffee today. So I have had two purple sticks. But the reality is, I mean, you've got to practice what you preach. You got to share and tell the people about this show, about Hagma Show. Find a show you like. Number two, stop hanging out with losers. Gosh, I don't believe what you say. It don't matter to me none. Don't get around those people. Just send them a text every once in a while. If you got a Q weirdo that's hassling you, man, just say, hey, look, you know, do me a favor, man. Leave me alone. Stop sending me the weird stuff. I don't believe this stuff. And losers, the drunks, the alcoholics, the weirdos. Don't hang out with weirdos. You know, the other day, my daughter brought a kid home from school, and she wasn't interested in dating him. She kind of felt sorry for him. And I'm not going to get into all that, but for various bad decisions on his part, his life was a wreck. And I told her, I said, you got to elevate your friends. You got to pick a few people that can put the sentence together. I mean, you got to pick a few people who will listen. Don't hang out with losers. I mean, think about it for a second. If you're trying to go up a ladder and you're trying to bring people with you, you know, they kind of need to climb the rungs with you. Now, if you got one down there that's small, maybe your kid or whatever, 30, 40 pounds, you got him hanging on your back and you're climbing the ladder, you get up, you can go a little slower, but you can get up. But you get a couple hundred pound per people hanging on you, you're not going anywhere. You got to change. You got to get rid of the baggage. You got to step forward. Let me give you a little secret. Let's say you have 100 people on your list and you start sending out the show and you get 20 people out of the 100, which is about right, that are going to respond to the show. And all of a sudden, they start responding to the show and they start sending it out their list. It grows geometrically. You don't have to get 100% response. It's the 20-80 rule. 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the volume. It's just what happens. 20% of the people are going to forward 80% of their texts in their emails. The other people won't. You work with the 20% to help them become better. Just let the 80 do what they're going to do, because chances are six-pack and a TV is all they want anyhow. Now, the next thing you got to do, you got to get out from underneath the grind, okay? There are a lot of things in your life that you're doing that basically aren't necessary. I mean, some people, Austin, they get into a situation where everything is an issue. Everything becomes an event. Everything becomes a giant donut. Let me explain to you what that means. Years ago, we had eggless donuts before I knew what was in them, and we'd give them to the kids every once in a while. And one time, Austin had a donut. I bought him a donut, and I asked him if I could have a bite of the donut. This is 25 years ago, and he pitched a little fit and didn't want me to give him the donut. So I took the donut away, and I ate the whole donut. And he goes, "Well, I can't believe you ate the whole donut." And I'm like, "Don't make a donut out of it, Austin. Don't make a donut out of things that aren't important. It was a bite out of a donut that I just gave you. It's okay to give part of the donut back. It's okay. So don't major in minors. I know you got a lot of you guys have stuff you got to do, but you got to clean your schedule up some. Don't make it so you're so hectic and so busy. Don't get your kids in 12 different sports each, and you got four kids, and now you got to do 48 sports events, and you never have a chance to stop or slow down. You got to basically calm it down. You got to quiet your mind. You got to sit there and let people realize that you got to be able to hear from the Lord. You need to have positive prayer time and time that you wait upon the Lord. Now, remember, one of the most important things that you need to do is pray with Scripture. You know, the new world calls it, you know, affirmations, which is okay. I mean, you affirm what you believe. You know, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Okay, that's an affirmation with the Apostles' Creed. That's okay. I love those kind of affirmations. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I commit my plan unto the Lord, they will succeed. Father, I ask you to continue to expose Washington and the corruption that's in. Father, I ask you to continue to open the hearts and the minds of the patriots and allow them to see the truth and what's going on in the country. Father, please let the churches have the ability to see the damage the Scofield Bible has done to Christianity in the past 150 years. That's what you pray. You pray in affirmations and you thank him for what he's already done, and you try to pray in the positive. That's very, very important. You know, Father, I thank you that I'm always at the right place in the right time every time, Lord. I thank you that the people who are listening to my show continue to send my show out to all of their friends and everybody on their list. Those are affirmations that you pray. I thank you that I have the best wife. You don't get what you nag about, you get what you praise about. I'm going to say that again. You don't get what you nag about, you get what you praise about. If you're praying out loud with your wife and you're thanking God how wonderful she is, guess what? She's going to do her best to be wonderful. If you're praying for your husband and you're praying out loud and he hears you pray how wonderful he is, he's going to do everything he can to be wonderful. Why? Because he knows that's what's expected of him. So you don't get what you want out of life. I'm going to say this again. I want to be very clear with you here. This is so important that everybody listens to me. Now you got me up here. Now I'm running around and walking around in the office again. You don't get what you want out of life. You get what you expect. And what does that mean? Look, if you expect to be successful, most likely you'll be successful. If you expect to live in poverty, most likely you'll live in poverty. If you expect to have friends that trust you and who love you and who want to be around you, most likely you'll have that. You don't get what you want. Ask as if it has already been given unto you, is what the word says, and you will receive it. Many of you, you found our show. You send me emails. You become part of the family. You send me texts. You pray for us. I pray for you. You expected a great relationship with us. We've given it to you to the best of our abilities. This is what life is. If we expect our country to get better and we all work together in the aggregate, it's going to get better. If we don't, if we're doom and gloomers and all we see is bad, 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 we expect there too. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to wake up the pansies in the pulpit who were lace on their panties. Okay? This is who we have to wake up. We've got to get these doggone pastors awake enough to talk to the people, to their flock, to their sheep, who they're responsible for in aggregate. We're not going to get it from the media. The pastors are what gave us the revolution against England. That's who did it. They gave because they were willing to stand against tyranny. We have to be, as laymen in the church, willing to be ostracized. Woo! Did I just say that? I just said that. We have to be willing to step up to the pump and say, hey, you know what? I don't agree with what he just said. I don't agree with what she just said. I don't agree with what we're doing. Do we really need to put $10 million more debt on the church right now in the middle of all of this? What if the economy goes down again? What happens? Shouldn't we rather have home group meetings and do all the things that we need to do as a Christian and build and build and build internally instead of going into debt for massive cathedrals that sit vacant or empty once that pastor dies or get torn down like Carpenter's Home did in Lakeland? Shouldn't we be the ones who are the spearheads? Guys, we can do it. This show has there are millions of you listening to this show. This show alone can do this. We can change the very course of reality, the very fabric of space-time. We can do it by what we speak and what we do. Now you say, well, you think we can change scripture and what's been prophesied? No. It's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about that because the word of God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what we can do, and I believe this, and that's why no timelines were given. Jesus himself said, none but the Father himself knows, and this is all going to happen. I believe that we can stand before God and we can get a reprieve for our country. I believe that our children can live in the once great nation of the United States. I believe that this can go on now for several hundred more years. But guys, it's not going to go on unless we change it. We've got to stop believing the lies of the mainstream media. We've got to stop believing the lies of Breitbart and Drudge and all the crap obfuscation they put out and all of the twisting and the this and that. The reason I don't talk about the Mueller investigation is it's all BS. It never should have happened. We don't go into that on this show. Why? I don't care. It's all to basically get you caught up in this. I know people. They can tell you who won the major World Series in baseball last 50 years. Who all the major players were. What all the major batting scores and averages are. What difference does any of that make? That's what they're trying to do. Is get you caught up in the tiny little details of the Mueller investigation so you don't pay any attention to the fact that they're doggone about to build a third temple to bring in an Antichrist. You go, what the heck? Yeah! They don't want you to talk about that. They don't talk about that on Drudge or Breitbart. They don't talk about the third temple. They don't talk about the Antichrist. They don't talk about how the Christians are supposed to be gone. when that happens, how Europe is being swept by the Muslim broom. They don't talk about any of this stuff. Why? Because they don't want you to know it. Because you're supposed to sit there and go, I can't believe that Mueller did this and that Mueller did that. I can't believe Hillary Clinton did this. It's like Brad said in that letter. All these things now that are irrelevant are what's happening. Hillary Clinton walks free with that disgusting smile and face of hers. The woman nauseates me. Liar, thief, saboteur, which I just bind you in the name of Jesus, you witch. You're awful. It's awful. You're awful. But yet, Julian Assange gets arrested in handcuffs and hauled out of the embassy. This is all under Donald Trump. Guys, wake up. Wake up. He's a puppet. He's doing what he's told to do. All right, that's enough. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story?
No, well said. I mean, it's the same thing like Brad said as well. I mean, we have this immigration issue, and it's been this big, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and nothing's gotten done. Nothing's changed. No wall, no restriction, no border patrol. I even told you guys the other day when he passed that budget deal, it basically allows that nobody can be deported if they're possibly maybe thinking, even contemplating helping out or supporting a illegal immigrant child or sponsoring a legal immigrant child. I mean, the wording on it is so vague and so open to interpretation. It honestly, in my opinion, from what I've seen, it essentially allows more illegals to come here unfettered, unmolested, unstopped, completely allowed to come in on their way. Because now all they have to do is just go, oh, I'm sponsoring an unaccompanied minor. He's already in the country right now. I have to meet up with him. That's it. That's literally it. Well, I was reading, but that's all they have to do. That's all you gotta do. Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know you're coming into the country illegally to take care of another illegal minor. Why didn't you say that in the first place? You can go freely on your way now. Enjoy your country here, your newfound home. Remember, don't pay any taxes because they'll give you everything for free. Come, go on. Go on your way. That's what they do now. That's literally what they do. It's sickening. Also, too, in other news, this is very strange. As you guys know, the Columbine shooting was April 20th, 1999. Of course, they like to remember all that stuff with April 20th. They like to bring a lot of stuff up. But I saw an incident that made, no national news. I thought was very interesting. A girl from Miami, that's why it kind of brought up the idea to me. I had another customer actually email it to me as well, so I'd been looking at it this week. This girl from Miami, her name was Sol Parrish. She's 18 years old, okay? She lived in Miami, went to school in Miami, from Miami. Got a plane ticket, flew out to Colorado, bought a shotgun and ammunition legally, is what they're saying now, from the Denver FBI. Dean Phillips is what he's saying. She bought the gun legally, made a threat to somebody while she was over there about Columbine, and then 2 days later, they find her out in the woods in the middle of Colorado with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to her head. Really weird situation. Have no idea. Don't know what to make of it at all. I'll tell you that right now. Have no idea what to make of it. Completely no idea what to make of it. I mean, I can speculate on it, but in reality, I have no idea. There may have been something else that was going on here. I mean, the fact that this girl, 18 years old, from Miami, born in Miami, raised in Miami, buys a one-way ticket to Colorado, flies out there, buys a shotgun, and then all of a sudden they find her out in the woods with her head blown off. Really weird situation. I don't know. I'd have to look into more of it. It seemed to me, in my opinion, this may have been a setup for her to be involved in something else, and something went sideways and she either broke out of her programming or decided she didn't want to be involved in what other weird situation that something was planned for. Remember, guys, the FBI has been busted almost, 72 times being involved in arming terrorists or arming situations or foiling plots that they set up. They've got caught 70-something times. Oh, we found a homeless guy in a tent city, and we handed him a backpack of C4, and we said, hey, if you take that C4 and you go take it in that building, we'll give you $500,000 in cash. And the dude goes, okay, why not? $500,000 in cash? Okay, sure, I'll go put it in the building. He walks in the building, they go, we got him, we got the terrorist, we busted him right here. He was planning on bombing this building with C4. We caught him, we foiled another terrorist attack, and he goes, But do I still get my money? They go, no, you're going to prison now for 50 years. And he goes, okay, at least I don't have to live in a tent city anymore. Bye. And then all of a sudden, they're all praised. Oh, they stopped the terrorist attack. They do it all the time, guys. They do it all the time. And now his girl from Miami, his 18-year-old girl, flies out to Colorado by herself, buys a shotgun, then goes out in the woods and blows her head off. It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, it's some positive news here. Also, too, omega-3s. This is another article I found out earlier from a research study that was published in Food Science and Human Wellness. This is pretty good because we talk about omega-3 fats, why they're so important, and how they're associated with proper brain development. They actually, researchers from the University of Rosenberg in Germany, sought to determine the effects of omega-3 deficiency on attention functions and impulsive behavior in rats. The team found that omega-3 fats actually indeed played a role in cognitive and behavioral processes. In the study, the research team fed rats an omega-3 deficient diet over several generations. By the seventh generation, they were randomly assigned two diet groups. One received an omega-3 deficient diet continually, and the other had omega-3 sufficient diet. In addition, they fed a group of previously untreated rats with an omega-3 sufficient diet. After this, the researchers assessed the attention and impulsive behavior of the male offspring of these three diet groups. The results showed that the deficiency of the omega-3 fatty acids over generations led to a significant change in the attention parameters and impulsive behaviors of rats. The treatment with the omega-3 sufficient diet corrected the impairments associated with the omega-3 deficiency. The findings of the study suggest that the detrimental effects of transgenerational omega-3 deficiency can at least partially be reversed by feeding omega-3 sufficient diets. This supports earlier animal studies that show supplementation with omega-3 fatty acids can help in recovery from behavioral deficits. So this is something that I've talked about so much, and so is Dad. The omega-3 fats are crucial. They are crucial. The cod liver oil or the flaxseed oil, these are something that are so important because they've shown to help fight off depression and anxiety. They help brain health significantly during pregnancy and early life in the mother and the child, reduces ADHD symptoms in children, helps improve mental disorders, and also, too, they're really important for women after they've had the baby. This is crucial. We've seen this so many times where women, you know, they have postpartum depression is what they call it. In most cases, from what we have seen, and personally of women that I've worked with, even Lana's friends that we've helped out with that with, the biggest impact are the omega-3 fats and the B complex. Those two in and of itself play a crucial role in mental and cognitive health after a woman has had a baby. And of course, those two nutrients play a crucial role in just about everybody because they're so important in the brain. But I thought this research study was pretty interesting. I'll put it up on the website today so you guys can do more research on it, Dad. But as you know, I know you take them all the time. The omega-3 fats are crucial in pretty much anybody's diet.
Well, if I was trapped on a desert island and I had the choice of one supplement and I couldn't catch salmon, okay, I would take omega. I'd have a bottle of cod liver oil with the omega-3 fats, and you also have them in capsules if you don't like the taste. I mean, it's that important for brain health. I mean, it does so much. You've got to take the essential oils. So that's why I take my MCT oil every single day. And, you know, it's not as high in omega-3s as you know I would like, but it's still a great product to help burn and melt body fat, especially belly fat. Also, one other thing you got to do too. You got to, more and more stuff's coming out with high fructose corn syrup. I mean, now they're saying that it basically promotes gastrointestinal tumor growth. It said that just one can of sodas a day will massively increase the risks of colorectal cancer. I mean, think about that for a second. It's really, really, really bad. And so you got to remember, guys, high fructose corn syrup is not something that's naturally occurring in nature. You know, you can find it in fruit, but you don't find high fructose corn syrup. It's all isolated from corn that has been soaked with glyphosate. So on top of everything else, you're getting the high fructose corn syrup that's contaminated with Roundup. So many people have an inflamed gut. So many people have intestinal problems now. Why? It's the food we eat, the stress that we're under. Guys, I love you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate all the wonderful emails I get from you guys and all the texts that I get. You guys are awesome. Thank you for all the people who support the show. You got Matthew, you got Mark, you got Brad, you got so many people, Terrence. They all come out and they support the show and they send me all the stuff. Karen, oh my gosh, Karen. Karen helps me write articles. We've got so many people out there. And see, I hate naming names because there's about 100 of you guys and you know, you didn't name me on the show. Thank you, all of you guys. I could do a whole list of 100, but if I do that, then everybody's going to get mad because it's boring. I don't want to listen to it. It's taking too long. Guys, I love you. I prayed for you today. You guys rock. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Love you guys.
Absolutely. And one other health aspect of, you know, I've seen a lot of people now, a lot of people that are coming down with what they're diagnosing as gastritis, which is essentially inflammation of the stomach. And a lot of times I've talked to people now and they're not even really, you know, doing anything crazy and they're still coming down with gastritis. A lot of this is coming down to the inflammatory foods and the GMOs and the high fructose corn syrup. The first thing, if you're having inflammation of the gut, of the intestines, anything at all, you have to get off any GMO food. You have to cut out all bread out of your diet. You got to cut and go full organic vegetables, fruits, organic meats, organic eggs, organic veggies, all of it. It's got to go organic, and you got to add in good, healthy omega-3 fats. On top of that, you can add in the GHI cleanse and the L-glutamine. Those two together, I've seen, provide very, very positive results for reducing inflammation. That's what the GHI cleanse is. It's gastrointestinal, hepatic, inflammatory cleanse. That's why we named it that, GHI cleanse. So it's designed to not only clean out the gastrointestinal tract and clean out and protect the liver, the hepatic system, it's also designed to massively reduce inflammation in all of those areas. So crucial product to take, especially if you're having issues with that, and get off the soda, get off the coffee, get off the GMOs, get off the bread, cut that stuff out of your diet, and go on a very clean, organic, limited diet to really try to maintain healthy digestive tract and reduce inflammation in the body. So those are just some key things that you can really do to help out with that, because these are things that I'm starting to see on a regular basis. Also, too, you can add in the CBD oil, which, by the way, is on sale right now as product of the week. This is one of our very popular products that we just released. It's derived from organic certified hemp and provides very, very clean, pure 300 milligrams of CBD oil per bottle. Great formula. Have gotten very positive response from a lot of customers on it now. I even had a customer send me another email the other day. I've heard this probably a dozen times on this. He said, man, I've been using CBD oil from other companies. I got mixed results. Some of them were good. Some of them were bad at the beginning. Some of them just dwindled out. And I said, I've seen this a lot. A lot of times what's going on with this is a lot of these CBD oils, because they're not really regulated, they're producing a good product at the beginning, and then they're cutting it for cost and lowering the dosage on it as they start producing more of it so they can make more money. The problem is it doesn't work like it's supposed to. So we have this guaranteed and assayed on every single batch to be at least a minimum 300 milligrams. This one that I got, the assay on this batch that I currently have, was 302 milligrams average per bottle. So we're keeping it right up there. We're keeping it good. We're keeping it clean. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support of healthmasters.com. If you need anything, let us know. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.